My name is Donald Trump, and I'm a big fan of Israel. And you truly have a great prime minister. In Benjamin Netanyahu, he's a winner. He's highly respected. So vote for Benjamin. Terrific guy, terrific leader, great for Israel.
The Ethiopian government in Addis Ababa introduced a state of emergency in the country because of growing concerns about security following several protests. This is the first time a state of emergency has been declared in Ethiopia in the last 25 years. This comes after one of Ethiopia's largest ethnic groups has been fiercely protesting against the government.
What we are going to do is be ambitious in our negotiations to negotiate the best deal for the British people, and that will include the maximum possible access to the European market for firms to trade with and operate within the European market.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is Friday. It's October 14th, 2016, 5:10 in the morning. Good morning. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. Welcome to another business day as we close out the first week of the fourth quarter, I guess, the first week of October. And what in fine fashion we did it. Did you have frost this morning when you woke up on your windshield? Maybe in the suburbs. A chilly, chilly morning. But still, I'll take it over 90 degrees any day. Fall, my favorite time of the year. The other numbers that are important today are happening on the WGN market desk from Associated Bank this morning. The Dow is Dow futures are pointing up about 58 points now. The S&P NASDAQ futures are also just a little bit higher this morning. Crude oil is also trading about a percent higher, 51.02 a barrel at last check. In Europe, most of the indices are higher for change this week. And in Asia, all of the arrows are pointing up as well. So the market seemed to be liking something today. We'll get right to that conversation this morning with Paul Nolte, who's in the studio. Kingsview Asset Management, a Senior VP Portfolio Manager. Paul, we've got a lot to talk about this morning, but first, good morning.
Welcome. Good morning. Good morning.
And a happy autumn. I don't know if you're an autumn, but I'm an autumn
person. I like the cooler weather. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I'm with you on that one.
And unfortunately, if you can tell in my nose, I slept with my window open, and I'm paying for it this week, so I apologize. But I don't know where to begin. I suppose since we heard Theresa May last in the montage there as we opened the program, let's begin with Brexit.
Brexit is moving along, and everybody is staking out their positions. There's rumors running around now, and the possibility exists it's something more than zero, that the reading of the Brexit, if you will, is that the vote has to go through Parliament. So the people voted on it, and that is not the end of the story, that Parliament can also needs to approve it. And there's possibility, a relatively strong possibility, that Parliament goes, you know, this is going to be really messy and ugly, and so we're going to say, no, we're going to stay in the Union. So there's a lot of the negotiating still going on, and as we talked about when the Brexit vote happened, this is going to be a 1 to 2 year process, and we're very early on still down that road. And in essence, we're watching the ugly process of sausage being made.
Yeah, and I guess the couple of ways we could sort of relate this to what might happen here in America, but one way could be that Al Gore wins the popular vote and the Electoral College goes to George Bush. Is that a good way, a fair analogy, or is it something different?
I think it's something very different because, again, what you're looking at is renegotiating, unnegotiating, if you will, a lot of the contracts, a lot of the employment agreements that a lot of people have, the free flow of not only goods and services, but of employment. So you have a lot of people that are from the continent coming into England to work, and a lot of the English going into the continent without any, I don't want to say rules or regulations, but in essence, it's a free flow of people as well, employment opportunities. So it is a very different situation. It has a much further and deeper economic impact.
And Prime Minister Theresa May, who sounds to be just as much of a business person as she is the leader of the country, wants to wait to the very last possible moment to get as much as she can, apparently, out of the European Union before leaving. How does the world view that?
Again, it's a negotiation. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to stake out our position. And a lot of what she's done up to this point, I mean, this is really the first time that we've heard from her in a long time, because her view is, I really don't want to negotiate through the press and out in the public. I want to do this behind closed doors, and that way not have all of the political influences and the media influences and everything else, and try to get, in her words at least, the best deal for Britain.
I don't get the sense that it's been going on behind closed doors, though, because there have been other countries and the IMF and others have said, hey, let's get this going. Let's start talking about this.
And again, it's, when you and I are talking and you decide to open your mouth and kind of the negotiation deals are off. So, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
On the WGN Associated Bank market desk this morning, watching a couple of stocks of local interest as we pull up the numbers here. Well, my computer's not refreshing, so how about if we just give you the market numbers this hour? The Dow futures up 65, the NASDAQ and S&P futures. Gold is a little bit lower this morning. Silver is a little bit higher.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. It's 519. Paul Nolte in the house, as he is on Friday. Our Friday conversation with Paul. I'd like to consider you, Paul, our portfolio manager. You're sort of the guiding, the steady guiding force of all the craziness that goes on during the week. What did you see this week that you liked?
Not much to like this week, other than we're getting into earnings season, and certainly that's really more the driving force for the markets. And trying to take a look at where the markets may be heading, it's really more a focus on what are companies worth and what are they earning, more so than the political rhetoric and all the other noise that's going on around it. So we'll get a real good look at it the next couple of weeks as a lot of companies start to report.
Delta Airlines, I think, was one of the big ones first yesterday, and I'm pulling up my calendar for today. I believe, let's see, who do we have coming up today?
We have J.P. Morgan, yep. We got the bank, we got a lot of the banks, so we'll get to hear. And that's going to be an interesting comment as we hear from those banks about what their business lines are like. What I'm hearing from different people that I'm talking to is that, you know, the stereotypical banking is still struggling, and where a lot of these banks are making money still is on the trading, on IPOs and negotiating deals, et cetera. And I'm talking more of the Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs companies. J.P. Morgan, they'll make money on transactions and their own proprietary trading. But those banks like a U.S. bank that are more consumer-oriented, shall we say, are still kind of struggling. You know, they're struggling to make loans and so on.
I think some of the these results do come before the market opens today. Citigroup, J.P. Morgan Chase, as you said, Wells Fargo. I think all three are before the bell
yes.
this morning.
Yes.
And the Monday we have United Airlines, United Continental Holdings. A couple of the other airlines are also coming out on Monday. More of the banks on Monday. Is what you've just said about the banks, is that what might be behind what's going on at Wells Fargo, or what happened at Wells Fargo? Are they struggling to find money in places, and so pushing these weird incentive things to try to do it, or what?
Well, it goes back to the yield curve and the very low interest rate environment that we have. Banks typically make money on spread, you know, what they take in for deposits and what they then loan out. And they're struggling to find loans. There's not a huge demand for loans on a year-over-year basis. So that part of their business is shrinking a little bit. They're certainly not growing that much. Regulation has something to do with it. So the very low interest rate environment, a little bit of regulation from Dodd-Frank. And so what banks are left to do, kind of like the airlines, we're going to start charging fees and processing fee for this and a transaction fee for that. And if you've got this account, we'll charge you this for that. So there's more of an incentive, I think, for them to, in the common parlance, nickel and dime people to get revenue in. And so when you take a look at how the airlines are doing, they're doing fabulously well, and most of their money's made on fees.
Right. And so I can imagine what more fees I could pay at my bank for checking, for an ATM withdrawal, for doing, even getting change turned into dollar bills. It's everything.
It is. And it's part of their way of trying to make sure that there's money coming in the door on a regular basis because they're not making it from what we would normally think of as normal banking activities.
Were you watching the rubber chicken circuit this week, as you like to call the Federal Reserve folks who were out there? Did you read the minutes from the meeting?
It was kind of interesting when you went through all of that. As we've talked about after each of these meetings, we're not going to raise rates. And then you listen to every Fed governor and they said, you know, next time for sure we're going to raise rates. I think December is looking to be in the bag, as it were, that they will finally raise rates. But again, when you listen to the comments and everything else, it is very different from what you are hearing and what you're reading then in the minutes. So kind of the gloves come off and, you know, I'm out talking and I can say my piece. Whereas in the committee, they're trying to at least get a coalition together to come to a unified decision. So it's a little tougher.
And the minutes seem to suggest that there was a little bit of fighting going on.
And certainly, you know, again, it comes back to what is a healthy interest rate environment, and what are they looking at, and what are they expecting? The fear is that if we raise rates too much, it strengthens the dollar, hurts our foreign trade, and ultimately can slow down the economy. And quite frankly, the economy is not growing that fast to start with. So they're kind of betwixt and between as far as how quickly do we raise rates and how much of an impact is it going to have on the financial markets. But what we're seeing now through two-year bonds, treasuries, short-term treasury notes, interest rates are rising. So there is an anticipation that we'll see that come to pass in December.
I'd like to get your input, too, on something that happened yesterday. The Treasury Department has finally issued these rules on tax evasions to sort of limit them. We saw Johnson Controls to our north in Wisconsin do one of these inversions. Some others have not gone through. I know you're big on emerging markets. Does this have an impact on potential investment in emerging markets? No,
it really doesn't. What it does is it changed the domicile for these companies to an international a domicile, their home office, as it were, and where they're going to be paying taxes. The United States, their tax law is such that whatever I earn in Asia and Europe gets taxed in the United States, different than a lot of other countries. The other countries will say whatever you earn in this country is going to be taxed. If you earn it in some other country, you're going to be taxed in that other country. And that's part of the reason why there is so much money on corporate balance sheets that are not in the United States. Apple is a great example. They have a ton of money that is locked up overseas because if they bring it back to the United States, it's going to get taxed. Uh-huh. And they're trying to avoid that. It stays overseas. So by doing these inversions, then the home office changes to those international locales, and then they can use that cash a little bit more effectively.
It's the fourth quarter, and I know we've been talking a lot about businesses and earnings and corporations, but as investors, as people with portfolios and 401ks and stuff, what should we be getting ready for? What should we be doing in the fourth quarter?
Oh, there's a lot to be doing in the fourth quarter. We have, for those that are over the age of 70 and a half, there's required minimum distribution. So you want to make sure that you take out of your IRA account, 401, generally an IRA account, the required minimum distribution that the IRS says you have to take during the course of the year. So that usually you can do it any time of the year, but again, you want to make sure you do it because the penalties are onerous. The second thing is take a look at the trading activity for the year. Gains and losses. Do we make money? We lost money. This is a good time to kind of take a look at the portfolio, clean out maybe a little bit of the dead weight, maybe take some gains and some things that have done well, and try to zero out what I would call zero out the gain and loss so that when you are doing your taxes next year, you don't report gains on your portfolio. As far as the tax man is concerned, and try to reduce that as much as you can.
And maybe also be thinking about some charitable deductions before the end of the year as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there's a lot of tax things going on between now and the end of the year. Get yourself set up so that April looks nice, at least from your perspective.
Very good. Good conversation, Paul. Thanks, as always, for the advice. By the way, you can get Nolte's notes. You can go to Paul Nolte's site on it's kingsview.com/ WGN, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And you can find all the information about Paul there, and he'll be back again next Friday for another conversation. Paul,
absolutely.
Thank you. Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program, 538 on this Friday edition of The Opening Bell. And it's our regular feature with Rick Cini of FairCompare.com. Cheap airfare to get you out of town for the weekend. And some new things, some new offerings at some of the airlines. One of them at American Airlines called Premium Economy. And remember the days we had first class. Let's see, there was coach and then business class and then economy comfort. But premium economy actually may be something you love. Let's bring in Rick, who is with us from Fair Compare headquarters in Dallas this morning. Rick, tell us about this premium economy. What is it?
Yeah, so basically it's a brand new cabin type, really sort of created completely from whole cloth, which essentially is between business and coach. Now, I think there's two things that are driving this new cabin. By the way, this is on a new on American's new Dreamliners, the 787 model 900s. And this cabin sort of reflects the business economy for the next probably 10 or 15 years, saying we can send our executives in the new business class. They're getting rid of first class on most flights today, at least long haul flights. But we don't want to send the rest of our company back in coach. They say they want some extra leg room, and we're willing to pay for it. We're just not willing to pay business class rates, and that's what this new section is for. Also, for people that like to travel to Europe, a lot of people like to fly in business class air because you have the lie flat seats and you can sleep overnight. But on the way back, you're up the entire time. So why pay for the more expensive seat when you can actually get the cheaper seat coming back with actually just leans back instead of lies all the way back?
And so I guess this is called a couple of things. I think United calls it Economy Plus. Delta's calls it Economy Comfort. What is actually the difference, if we could go into a little bit more detail?
Economy Plus and Economy Comfort aren't really completely new seats. They're just extra leg room on your actual coach class seat. So really, those aren't different kinds of seats. These are actually a different kind of seat. So it's almost though business class now becomes the new first on long haul flights, and premium economy becomes what was called business before. The good news for consumers is that being the price point is down for more. So essentially on these long haul flights, especially on Dreamliners that hold just under 300 people typically, you're going to have business class, premium economy, and then two versions of coach, one with a little extra leg room and one in the sardine section.
The steerage, as I like to call it. So this is obviously the new Boeing Dreamliner, and are a lot of these being put into service? Because the best thing about them, according to Boeing and others, is that they do these long hauls very cheaply.
Yeah, well, you're just seeing it in the first wave of stuff that's coming from American. You're going to see it on Delta and United as well. And yeah, it's sort of a different kind of aircraft because you can actually fly it to different destinations that you didn't have to fly it to hubs, for example. I've seen Dreamliners flying, for example, out of Austin to Europe, which is a place you would never try to fly a huge aircraft out of because it's more fuel efficient and it's got fewer passengers and it has a longer range as well, so you can actually fly further. So it's a whole new type of aircraft. Apparently we're going to get some new cabins in it as well, so it gives a lot of people a little more flexibility on flying. We even see Norwegian Air, for example, flying all coach Dreamliners into Europe at ridiculously low prices out of some cities out of the Northeast.
So what is the price point on this? Give us a sense of what this costs.
I think it's going to be, what you're going to find is for European flights or transatlantic flights, somewhere in the $1,700 to $1,800 range, where you would have business class maybe in the $3,000 to $5,000 range, coach in the $1,000 range. So you're going to see this price range somewhere between $1,700 and $2,200.
That's like almost half price, right? That's not a bad deal.
Yeah, essentially, it's going to be a much lower price point. And again, business managers at a variety of travel managers at businesses are looking for that kind of difference. They want their employees to be comfortable, but they just don't want to pay that $5,000 business class rate.
So for people who look at their tickets and they're not like you and me who know what these aircraft are, is the Dreamliner different from the 737-800, or is the 737-800, because the Dreamliner is a 787, right?
Right, the 787 model, which is the 900 model, which is these particular models, hold typically about 300 passengers. The 737-800, about 165 to 175. So it's about not quite half the size for a 737, for example.
Have you been able to get in one of these yet to see what the legroom's like?
I haven't seen them. I've seen lots of pictures of them, and I actually have seen the seat sort of outside of an aircraft a while back ago, and it reminds me of the seats that you would have seen flying to Europe in quote-unquote business class maybe 10 or 15 years ago when they didn't have lie-flat seats. So essentially it's a non-lie-flat seat, a little bit wider, very similar to what you would see for domestic quote-unquote first class.
These Dreamliner, for folks who've been following this, had a lot of production problems and has been the subject of a couple of different documentaries. Are those problems, have they been taken care of? Should we be concerned at all about flying on a Dreamliner?
Yeah, the problems were taken care of, but it did delay the launch for several years. They had problems with the lithium batteries. We've seen that with Galaxy Note 7s recently. So you can see that those kind of problems are not that easy to fix. It took them several years to get that sorted out. You have a lot of aircraft being delivered over the next 10 or 15 years. Most of the original 787 Dreamliners were actually for airlines outside the United States, so they've taken delivery of many of those aircraft. We're now seeing American, United, for example, and we'll see Delta soon taking delivery of those aircraft over the next several years.
When I hear the words to describe some of this as complementary and a bigger monitor and all of this other kind of stuff, I get excited because it's fancy. Are we really getting more amenities?
Well, you are, right? but I think that what's interesting to me is that most people today carry their video stuff with them,
yeah.
in the form of a tablet. So there's sort of a two schools of thought. Let's put everything in the aircraft with all the amenities and stuff and see if we can get people to pay and upgrade. Or let's just make it easy for them to use their tablets, plug it into the sound system, for example, plug it into the bigger monitor. So you have sort of two schools of thought there on electronics. As some airlines are just saying, hey, we're going to pass out iPads or Galaxy pads to some degree. And other ones are saying, no, we want the full seat back experience. The good news is it's modern. You actually you don't need an adapter, for example, like a cigarette car lighter to actually power up your phones and your other equipment. There's actually, outlets for that. There's USB ports. So they are upgrading those things to reflect more modern gadgetry.
So how did the airlines handle Hurricane Matthew? Are there any leftover effects from that?
Well, we had the worst of it on Friday, where we had a little over 1,200 canceled flights. Every day since then, there's been 300 fewer canceled flights. So Saturday, we had 900 and so on. Today, only about 45 canceled flights. So essentially, all the airports are back in the green status, back to normal operations. Now, I will caution people, if you're flying anywhere to the East Coast and the Southern East Coast, it could be slow going once you get out of the airport because there's lots of damage in and around airports. So once you get to your destination, you may need extra time to get where you need to go.
So the other word that I like in addition to economy and also complimentary is flash sale. some big sales at airports?
Well, you're going to see, here's one of the things that the airlines haven't done a lot of. They have a lot of people that have their native apps. They have kiosks sitting at the airport. So you're going to see a lot more. And they also have their Twitter and Facebook feeds. You're going to see more and more of these flash sales show up on those environments. They have agreements with GDSs, which include and online travel agencies that basically must require them to have price parity. But in the case of flash sales, the airline can do those specifically. And we're going to see a lot more of those in the next several months.
Get us out of town cheaply for the weekend. Anything good?
There's so many really good deals out there, and we saw a huge sale from Southwest Airlines last week. But nonstop flights out of the Chicago area, if you look at just prices under $200, there's so many different destinations out there. You have places like Seattle, Portland, Los Angeles, San Diego on the West Coast and Northwest. You have Boston, New York, Washington, D.C., Miami, Orlando, all under $200. So as long as you're staying away from the Thanksgiving holiday time period and the last couple of weeks in December where Christmas starts, you can actually find some of the best deals of the year.
Rick, happy safe travels.
Hey, thanks, Steve.
Rick Cini's the CEO of faircompare.com. You can follow him at Rick Cini and at faircompare on Twitter. One other aviation note this morning, some airlines have announced they're taking extra steps to prevent disaster in case a passenger's device powered by a lithium battery catches fire during flight. At least three U.S. airlines have announced they're adding a new fire suppression equipment to fleets in case a cell phone or laptop battery overheats, catches on fire, and can't be extinguished. This issue is taking new urgency following the Samsung Galaxy Note phone controversy. The FAA has taken the unusual step of warning passengers not to use those devices or even put them into checked luggage. There are also fire retardant bags that have been sent to people so they can put these phones in them and send them back.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 552 on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Dow futures are up 87 points. All of the other indices are futures indices, at least on the big board, are higher as well. And just in, J.P. Morgan Chase has just reported earnings this morning. And those earnings from the company show that they beat expectations. Adjusted share per earning, $1.58 on adjusted revenue of $24.7 billion. Analyst expected $1.39 a share. Let's bring in Orion Samuelson for a Friday chat on commodities, agriculture. Good morning, Orion.
And good morning to you. It's a frosty morning out here at our Huntley, Illinois studios. 37 degrees on my thermometer this morning, so kind of frosty this morning. As we take a look at markets yesterday, we had some sharp ups and some sharp downs. Cattle futures really continuing to tumble. Down another 2% yesterday, hitting six-year lows. Pressure from technical selling, weak prices in cash cattle markets. There were some cash cattle yesterday that sold around 96 dollars yesterday, and we've seen some very low prices on that. On the other hand, wheat futures at the Board of Trade yesterday climbed sharply, up 5%, and that pulled corn and soybeans along as well. We saw pretty good gains yesterday in the grain market, despite the October report earlier this week that said, yeah, we're still heading for record crops if we get it in the bin. But wheat yesterday, the nearby contract was up 20 and a quarter cents. December corn was up 12 and three quarter cents a bushel. November soybeans up 9.5 cents a bushel. And some pretty good export business in the wheat market, because we have a world supply of wheat that's more than we need at the moment. But yesterday, Saudi Arabia and Egypt and Syria and several other countries in the Middle East all striking deals to buy wheat, Russian wheat, but at least it's taking it off the market. And this morning in the overnight trade, we're looking at wheat continuing to climb. It's up 6.25 cents. Corn is up 4.75 cents a bushel, and the soybean contract nearby is up 5 cents a bushel in the morning trade. Looking ahead to next week, we'll be spending 4 days in Indianapolis, the National FFA Convention. About 50,000 FFA members from across the country will be there, along with about 10,000 adults who are teachers and school administrators and a lot of corporate executives who use the FFA Convention, Steve, to take a look at future talent that will be available when these kids come out of high school and college.
So. Because, yeah, the futures farmer, it's not all of them become farmers. Some of them, a good number of them, become business people.
Well, more than actually become production farmers. That's why, you know, when the FFA was born, it was called the Future Farmers of America. Or, with a little bit of a smile, some people said it meant Father Farms Alone, because the FFA kids were busy doing things in school. But they've now changed the name. It's simply the FFA organization, because there are 300 at least career opportunities outside of milking cows and raising hogs and cattle and grains and so on. Yes, it and interestingly enough, The graduates of agricultural colleges across the country probably have the highest rate of hiring of any of the schools in the universities around the country. So a lot of promise out there, and I call next week my battery charging week. You rub shoulders with these kids, and man, you can't help but come away impressed.
And so, be optimistic about the future.
Absolutely.
All right, Orion, have a great weekend.
You too.
All right, it's 5:57 here on the opening bell. One closing note, we're seeing on social media this morning, there could be some problems with United Airlines flights globally. We're seeing some of the problems have been taken care of. United Airlines has actually now issued a statement about some of this. Apparently, there was a problem with its computer system earlier this morning, about 3 a.m. Eastern time, 2 a.m. Chicago time. The problem was apparently fixed. These are residual delays that are showing up on United flights. If you have a flight on United this morning, we don't have geography involved with any of this, but to call your airline, make sure you check in with United Airlines ahead of your flight this morning just to make sure everything is on time. On the WGN Associated Bank Outlook for today, Commerce Department releases U.S. retail sales data for September, as well as reporting on business stockpiles in August. The Labor Department will report on the U.S. producer price inflation for September. Treasury Department releases the federal budget for fiscal year 2016. Three big banks, we've seen JP already a report this morning, Wells Fargo, Citigroup coming out as well during the day, all could drive the markets.